The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, you're welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. My name is Emmett Oliver. We're assessing this incredible fallout from the resignation of British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. There's reaction, obviously, in the UK, but also in Ireland. Let's hear a little bit from Taoiseach Micheál Martin, and he's been talking about a rocky relationship with the Boris Johnson government.
It's fair to say that over the last while, relationship has come under strain and there have been significant challenges. And I believe opportunities may now arise to reset that relationship, particularly to avoid unilateralism and to pull back from the unilateralism that has been evident in respect of legacy, in respect of the human rights as enshrined in the European Convention of Human Rights and its relationship to the Good Friday Agreement, and of course unilateralism in terms of the protocol itself.
Micheál Martin picking his words very carefully there, even though Boris Johnson is, I suppose, a beaten political docket, the Taoiseach still sticking to a reasonably cordial set of words to describe the relationship and how he got on with Boris Johnson. He's still going to be there for another while yet, so that's probably not too much of a surprise. If you've been out and about today and you haven't quite heard the final parting words of Boris Johnson, we have a little extract from his speech earlier this afternoon.
In those arguments, and of course it's painful not to be able to see through so many ideas and projects myself. But as we've seen at Westminster, the herd instinct is powerful. When the herd moves, it moves. And my friends, in politics, no one is remotely indispensable. I know that there will be many people who are relieved and perhaps quite a few who will also be disappointed. And I want you to know how sad I am to be giving up the best job in the world. But them's the breaks.
Yeah, that's the final words. Them's the breaks. And I think you could probably almost hear the sound of champagne corks popping, I would say, in the Department of Foreign Affairs, because they weren't happy having to deal with Prime Minister Johnson. They will be hoping the next person who comes in will be better, at least from their perspective, in terms of pursuing the Irish national interest. A man who might be able to tell us a little bit about that is Bobby McDonagh. He's a former Department of Foreign Affairs staffer and former ambassador to the UK and also the EU. He was there in London when Boris Johnson was the London mayor. We're also joined by Tim Walker, who's a former colleague of Boris Johnson's at the Daily Telegraph and author of Bloody Difficult Women, which is doing very well in the thespian and theatre world in the UK at the moment. And our final guest is Cindy Yu, who is a broadcast editor of The Spectator. I'm going to talk to Cindy a little bit about the media and how the ratings without Boris Johnson might stand up. But first of all, Bobby McDonagh, good evening and welcome to The Hard Shoulder. Bobby, I mean, I cannot imagine that Simon Coveney and his key senior advisors are anything but absolutely delighted to see the back of Boris Johnson.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think, as you said, the Taoiseach was being quite diplomatic, and he rightly should be, because the Irish government needs to deal with whoever is in power in London. You know, somebody like me, I'm retired. I don't have to mince my words, but the Taoiseach rightly is always calm and reasonable in what he says. But the relationship has deteriorated very significantly because of what the Taoiseach described as British unilateralism on Northern Ireland. The idea that Britain and Ireland were working together as co-guarantors of the peace process over many decades was essentially abandoned by the Johnson government, and most specifically, but not only, by undermining the Northern Ireland Protocol, which it had itself signed.
And Bobby, so, do you think? Sorry to interrupt you. Do you think this is the political packaging is going to change? He had a particular personality type, you know, which wasn't to a lot of people's liking. Some people did like it. But do you think policy will change a whole lot? I mean, we're obviously keeping our eye on the protocol. I mean, to be completely parochial at the moment, do you detect that the actual nuances will change? Or is it just, look, this will be a more reasonable person we can deal with, but the policy will probably be reasonably similar?
I think the phrase that Taoiseach used about this being a chance to reset relations is a fair way of putting it. There is a real chance of resetting relations. Whether that will happen depends on a number of factors, and I suppose most particularly who is chosen as Boris Johnson's successor. But Boris Johnson was a one-off because he didn't really have any principles or values. He was only interested in his own political advancement. And I think there's a pretty good chance that whoever replaces him will have more of a sense, for one thing, of British interests. So I don't expect a revolution. I don't expect that Britain will rejoin the European Union for any foreseeable future or rejoin the single market. But I think it would be reasonable to hope for three things. First of all, that whoever replaces him wants a good relationship with the European Union. Secondly, that they want a good relationship with Ireland and respect Ireland's role as a co-guarantor of the peace process. And thirdly, that they will value respect for international law and therefore not breach the Northern Ireland Protocol, which is legally binding. I think that's not an unreasonable expectation.
And do you expect, just to peel that down even further, do you expect the current legislation that whatever new candidate comes in and the successful candidate, do you expect that person to slow down, dilute, modify that legislation? Or would you say, I think all of them are going to still pursue that particular line? What do you think?
Well, anything I say can only be speculation. And I think it does, to an extent, depend on who is chosen. I mean, Liz Truss, for example, was largely the architect of the legislation that's going through, whereas some other people would probably take a more calm and reflective attitude. But what it comes down to more than anything else is what British interests are. And it clearly is not in British interests to be seen internationally as in breach of international law at the time when the only other person in Europe who's in favour of breaching international law is Putin. It seriously damages Britain's standing. It's also in Britain's interests to have a good relationship with the European Union. If Johnson's successor carries down that path, it's inevitable that there will be wider trade repercussions for the UK, which will be the direct and inevitable result of pursuing the path they're on.
Okay.
So I think as long as the new Prime Minister has some sort of sense of where Britain's real interests lie, I think we can be reasonably optimistic.
Let's test your theory with our second guest, who's Tim Walker. He's a former colleague of Boris Johnson's at the Daily Telegraph, and as I said, has a very successful award-winning play out at the moment called Bloody Difficult Women. Tim Walker, good evening and welcome to The Hard Shoulder. Taking up Bobby McDonough's point there, do you honestly think that it is important for a future Tory leader to have good relations with the EU? I mean, do you think that's a priority? Do you think that's kind of a, well, I could have it either way? Well, what kind of importance would you accord to that particular relationship?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, they are our biggest and nearest marketplace, and it makes no sense to have a relationship based on, you know, antagonising them. But Boris Johnson, I did work with him for 12 years. He was a chaotic figure in the office. Anyone who was waiting for his weekly column, for which we paid him £270,000 a year, you know, was normally...
You remember that figure very specifically and precisely.
I do. It was about...
No hint of jealousy there, I think, no?
No, none whatsoever. But he was a chaotic figure. And I think he did have a slightly gilded sort of life, really, there, because his great skill was ingratiating himself to extremely wealthy men who were always sort of normally octogenarian or nonagenarian newspaper tycoons. He got on very well with Conrad Black. He got on very well with the Barclay brothers. We're now down to one of those. The thing with, you know, I mean, you know, you and I probably, you know, in my career, I'd sort of try and ingratiate myself to the editor. But he would go, you know, way over the head. So he's got the proprietors on his side. I know various editors tried to get rid of him over the years. You know, he was not a popular man in the office.
No.
By any standard.
And Tim, do you think, I mean, obviously we're a long way away from this particular question, but just bear with me because I'm just kind of personally curious. But what do you think will become of him after he leaves? I mean, we hear talk about he loves media, he loves profile. Do you think he could go back into media as a columnist? Do you think he'd even be interested in that? I mean, what, from the man you know, what do you think?
Well, I saw The Guardian saying, you know, he's likely to return to the Telegraph. Now, they don't seem to understand that David Barclay, he was the one who was very close to Johnson. David Barclay is now dead, so we're left with Frederick Barclay, who was rather resented, I think, the amount of money he cost. And I don't think they seem to have noticed that the Telegraph has turned very much against Johnson. I wonder if there's anywhere he can go in journalism, because he is very toxic now. And I would suspect he'll end up at best on the American lecture circuit. I don't think he'll get the kind of money that, say, Theresa May gets. Because at the end of the day, how can you judge this man other than a complete and utter catastrophe? And I think I'm being a little bit conservative in my use of language.
Yeah, well, let's see, will he become a colleague of the next guest I have? Cindy, good evening to you and welcome to The Hard Shoulder. You're a broadcast editor of The Spectator. Are you expecting Boris Johnson to be a future colleague of yours?
I don't think we can afford that £270,000, to be honest. But The Spectator does have its summer party this evening, and possibly the Prime Minister will turn up to drink away his sorrows, because it's been a pretty tough few days for him. I think he actually probably does have a future in the media just because he's such a brilliant wordsmith. And you say what you want about him as a politician, but even in his resignation speech today, you know, you quoted him saying, "Them's the breaks." It's the kind of three-word thing that really sticks in your mind, is just utterly original, not cliched. And he's got a way with words that is just, he's very entertaining to read as a columnist. Now, that is not to say he's good as a politician or as a prime minister.
No, and do you think, Cindy, a little bit like when Trump left the political stage in the US, where everyone said, you know, whatever you think about Trump, he was great for ratings. You know, I used to know journalists who privately would say, "I can't stand the man, but he's far more interesting than some of the other politicians in the US." In terms of British media, I mean, a British political scene without Johnson and instead Ben Wallace and Keir Starmer, it does seem slightly more monochrome.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely true. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a problem, because politics shouldn't necessarily always be a circus. but you're definitely right that for people like us, the journalists watching on the side, it will be less dramatic. But probably a lot of people in the Conservative Party right now want a bit more, a bit of stability. I think quite a few of them in the last few days have been finding it emotionally quite tough, what's been going on.
Okay, let me just go finally back for some parting thoughts from Bobby McDonagh. Bobby, I mean, your game and your career has been built around making alliances, developing diplomatic contacts with the British. I mean, what will people in foreign affairs be doing over the next few weeks as you get a new leader? Are they thinking, we got to zone in on this particular person, or is it about the network around this person? How will they be framing their strategies to make sure that they get this reset that you're talking about?
Well, I think for one thing, they will be doing whatever they can to have the best possible relationship with whoever is in Downing Street, because that's the responsibility. I mean, no matter how badly they behave, like Boris Johnson did, there still is a responsibility to try and make things as least bad as possible. Hopefully there will be some progress. So what I suppose they will do is first of all, have an early contact with the new Prime Minister. The Taoiseach will contact him, and Simon Coveney will contact his counterparts in the Foreign Office and in the Northern Ireland Office. But there will be official level contacts as well. And what will be of interest would be to see, first of all, what the headline positions of the new Prime Minister are, but also how that trickles down into the system, how it's reflected by his other ministers and by his officials. And I think that Boris Johnson's approach was pretty toxic, and it spread pretty well throughout the system. Hopefully a change will lead to an improvement, not just at the top, but right down through the system.
And Bobby, looking at the candidates that you see them, you can go to the bookies odds. I mentioned them earlier on Odds Checker. I mean, looking through the names, and I'm not asking to go through them all by any manner of means, but is there ones that stick out to you as kind of more dangerous and more threatening from an Irish point of view versus others? Or do you think we don't really know until we have a hustings and so on? These people are kind of, they're hard to discern where they stand on Irish issues at this stage.
Well, I'd rather not mention any names in the context of that specific question. But I think what's important for Ireland is that there's an improved relationship between the UK and Ireland, and an improved relationship between the UK and the European Union. And at the heart of that is a first step is a different approach to the Northern Ireland Protocol. So I think whoever offers the best prospect of understanding the deep friendship between Britain and Ireland, which was manifested by the Queen's visit here in 2011, by our joint work on the peace process, whoever best reflects that and an awareness that Britain needs to get on with its neighbours, that would be the best person from our point of view. But that's a matter for the Tory membership to decide.
Yeah, well, we'll know probably in a few weeks. It'll be interesting times ahead for whoever we get, because we don't really know a lot about a lot of them on Irish issues. So it could, all sorts of things could happen, all kinds of possibilities. For now, we'll see and leave it there. Bobby McDonagh, he's a former Irish ambassador to the UK, was there when Boris Johnson was the mayor. Tim Walker, who was a former colleague and seems to remember the exact salary that Boris Johnson was collecting. Make of that what you will. And also Cindy Yu, thank you for coming on as well. She's at The Spectator, where she covers broadcasting and media. Now this.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.